Hi, it's Lucy, and welcome to this bonus episode of The Real Girls Club. Today, I'm honoured to be joined by Audrey Diwan, the French-Lebanese filmmaker and writer behind the Golden Lion-winning Happening. In this episode, we'll explore her latest film, Emmanuel, which stars Noémie Merlant, and we will discuss the creative journey that brought this film to life. Emmanuel will be released in UK and Irish cinemas by Altitude on the 17th of January 2025, followed by a digital release on the 24th of January. Hi Audrey, thank you so much for joining me today to talk on my podcast about your new film. I saw your film L'Evénement, I guess it must have been 2021, at one of the screenings in Marseille with a Q&A.
Oh really?
So I came to that Q&A and I remember at the time I thought I'd love to have you on my podcast, but the fear got the better of me and I didn't come up and ask you. But I mean, it's happening now, so fate has made it happen several years later. But yeah, today we're talking about your new film, Emmanuel, starring Noémie Merlant, which reimagines the iconic 1970s erotic narrative, but through a more contemporary feminist lens. It's out in France already, end of last year, but it'll be out in UK cinemas very soon. So my first question is, what inspired you to revisit and reinterpret Emmanuel for modern audiences today?
It always come from the character. I know I'm going to make a movie the day I can see someone, you know, someone that inspires me, someone I can project myself in, probably. So I saw this woman, 35 years old or so, and she doesn't feel pleasure anymore. And what is the quest for pleasure when you don't feel anything anymore, you know? And I think it was interesting. I mean, I was interested in the idea of portraying sexuality, avoiding the idea of performance, not showing something perfect, and telling girls something I would have loved to hear. Sometimes you won't feel anything. Sometimes you will be disconnected. It's a piece of art, I mean, movies, books, whatever, who tells me about women's sexuality, but what, from our perspective, you know, you can feel disconnected and you can go back to your own pleasure. Let's go that road together. Let's follow that path together. Let's explore frustration, and then how you can actually listen to your body and feel something again, you know, and what kind of connection you can have with others. Because I do believe that when you are in your early 20s, you will feel things that are related to transgression. You feel it's the first time for every single most, so it's easy to feel. And then you have to involve your brain. And this brain will tell you in a way that a body is just a body. You need connection with people to feel something. Male, female, you need to find your own connection to the world and to the people in order to arouse the body, you know, because it's not mechanical, obviously.
And in what sort of obvious ways would you say that your version differs from the original? It was also obviously based on a book. I haven't seen the original. I've only seen your version and I've not read the book. So can you tell me in your ways, in your words, how it differs from the original, which was, well, came out before I was born. So back in the 70s. So I guess caused quite a controversy then. And I'm wondering if your version is as controversial.
So it is not going to be easy for me to answer because I was born after the 70s.
Yes, as well.
And I've never seen it. I saw only 15 to 20 minutes of the movie and felt I wasn't the audience. And by the way, it's old and creepy, you know, in many ways. So I haven't seen it. So I decided not to try to compare my movie to the original one and to go my way, which is hard because many people in France haven't seen the movie, and I've realized it quite lately that Emmanuel is not a movie, it's a symbol. It's the image of the half-naked girl ready for anything, sitting on this chair, like, welcome, come on, you know. And what is had is to have people accept the idea that we can use that name and that symbol to say something quite opposite, like, okay, let's say it's a girl, she had many intercourse, and now she wants to work on her own pleasure because she can't find it. And so she's frozen at the beginning. And so it's a girl won't try to give you pleasure at the beginning because she's working on her own sensation. So what is controversial today is that, okay, I think the industry allowed us to talk about female sexuality, but only if we're excited. And I said, no, I mean, the beginning can't be exciting. It's sexuality without feelings, without sensations, without emotions, without nothing. So it has to be called.
I mean, how did you approach sort of portraying these sort of intimate themes while not having the lead character feel objectified, you know, the sort of typical tropes of maybe other sort of erotic films? Like, how did you manage to sort of stay away from that, I guess, objectification image that you might have or could have?
Honestly, it's not very difficult for me because I really think it's not who I am, and I believe that the people can feel it from the first moment. But it's not because you believe so that you don't have to be careful. So what was very, very interesting is that, so I asked intimacy coordinators to work with us, try to find what I expect from them, because I don't want sexuality to be a choreography, because I'm trying to talk about a girl who wants to surprise herself, you know, go back to her own sensation means you're going to try things differently that you have tried things before. I can't ask the main character to do so if she's rehearsing a choreography. Mm. These are real sharp. So anyway, it didn't work for me. But what we did and what was very fascinating is that most of the time I realized we don't talk about sexuality too much before the shooting because it feels awkward. And then it's the opposite. We talked about it. And we talked about it so much. First of all, everybody on the set, not only the actors, but all the crew, understand why every sexual sequence exists. Mm-hmm. And as everybody knows what kind of meaning we're trying to raise and share with his people, then everybody knows we're working. I think the big problem for actors, and I discussed it with many of them, is when in the screenplay you can read and then they make love, which is very funny because you would never write and then they have dinner. If you write the dinner, you're going to talk about the interaction between the characters, yeah. Right? Which you can do with sexuality as well. You know, a complicity, domination, whatever you want to tell through bodies can be told through bodies, but it has of the story. When you don't, then you ask the actors to use their own experience to offer you something. So you're watching them being them in sexuality. So you're seeing something from them.
Yeah, but as you said, if it says in the script, you know, and then they make love, it's a bit, leaves it open to, well, what does that mean? It could mean so many things.
Yeah.
In so many different versions.
Then it shifts everything. But honestly, Noemi told me something that I thought quite interesting. The way, I mean, on the set, she told me she knew she was in control of the sequence, and it allowed her to go further because we discussed the meeting. She trusts me. So on the masturbating sequence, she gave me that little sign that says, let me go with Laurent Angier, with the DOP. And she was experiencing and trying. And, you know, we didn't rehearse her taking ice and putting the ice on her nipple, but the ice everywhere. The ice that used to be some kind of a symbol for male sexuality in a way. Mm-hmm. So she's taking this, and I think her subconscious did this. And reappropriating the objects and using it for herself, not to rouse the people who are watching, but to feel something because it's cold. It's shifting the process.
I mean, it's interesting that you talk about the intimacy coordinator, because that's what I wanted to actually talk about as well. I just think it's such a great role to exist, especially concerning scenes that are very intimate. And, you know, I know they're professional actors, but I still think it must take a lot of courage and bravery to do certain scenes like that. In what other ways did you work with the intimacy coordinator, with Noemi, in order for her to feel comfortable?
We were the different time of this body, because at the beginning, the body is like an armor. So,
an armor.
Yeah, she needs to be cold and to create distance, even during the intercourse, but not only. And then how she opens up. So we work how the body says, I feel good, you know. But and talking about this, Stephanie, the intimacy coordinator, asked Noemi to close her eyes in the rehearsing room. She said, do you trust Audrey? And she said, yeah, I do. Do you trust me? They know each other for years. She said, yeah, I do. So be free to explore the room with your eyes closed. And she was like, oh, all right. So it's completely different. The way when you stop thinking about people watching you, first, you are inside your sensation, and what can that first change of your way, of the way you act? Mm-hmm. So I use the intimacy coordinator, we work together, not only trying to say how we're going to work on sexual sequence, but helping Noemi with the acting and the body. And it's a full work, and it's not only about those moments of sexuality. It's something deeper than that. Where does the confidence come from? The atmosphere of a set is something that is created before being on set.
Yeah.
And this was very important to me, because I don't think that erotic movies are only about sexual sequence. I think distance or this closeness, the feeling that something is going on between the characters is in the air. I think a storm can be erotic. Back and breaking the doors of the hotel can be erotic.
Is there any other particular reason that you chose Noemi Merlant for the role? And how did her interpretation align with your vision for the character?
Noemi, as Will Sharp, are actors directors. So we love to be able to discuss with the actors of the movie and to talk about, I mean, eroticism is all about the frame, so it's good to have actors you can discuss the frame with. And then Noemi, I saw two films when I was thinking about, I rewatched Portrait of a Lady on Fire, which mm-hmm. I love, and I watched a movie that she did more recently called L'Innocent, The Innocent from Louis Garrel. It's more like comedy. It was like, when she smiles, she can it's revolution. Everybody's going to follow her. So she can embody authority and coolness. And suddenly she can smile, and it's the perfect opposite. So she has everything I need in order to portray that revolution, which is happening in Florida.
I mean, I even thought the film kind of reminded me at times, maybe because of the location, it being in Asia, but it reminded me of Lost in Translation, like this woman alone in a big city and in a hotel in particular. Also reminded me a little bit of Eyes Wide Shut as well. And then I read that Cleo from 5 to 7 was sort of a source of inspiration for you. Was there something in particular about this film or any other films that gave you inspiration for making Emmanuel?
I mean, they're all inspiration. How much, it's hard to define, because, you know, we're only talking about major films, I would say, and they all stayed in my mind. I mean, I love Sofia Coppola's world because she's trying to define the boredom of those luxury places, you know, and how paradise can be tricky, you know. You think you're in paradise, and when we shot the movie, you know, we made a deal with the hotel. The whole crew was living in the hotel, so we were all together and all the time in the whole place. And then every day we put the same music, and we have the same flowers, and the objects are at the same place. And step by step, because we're there for weeks, the paradise is shifting, and suddenly we feel weird, you know. It's living an eternal prison, because everything is the same, no yesterday, no tomorrow. It was like, we are all in Emmanuel's mood now, we all understand the problem.
But yeah, it's a great way to immerse yourself in the environment.
We were lucky to be able to do it, but then we realized we all experience like going to, we all live in that luxury, perfect place to, we feel we need to get out.
Yeah, I can imagine. Comparing, I mean, they're not the same, but comparing your previous film, L'Evénement, or Happening in English, to Emmanuel, you know, one story is about the realities, the harsh realities of a woman's fight for autonomy over her body. And in Emmanuel, you're sort of examining female pleasure and desire. And I'm wondering if you see a sort of continuity between these two stories, these two works, and how they sort of address a woman's body as well as a place of sometimes oppression or control, but also liberation. Like, do you see kind of a correlation in your two different films?
It's women fighting against frame. They're in a place, I mean, happening, portray a young girl in this tiny frame where she tries to escape from a future that is already written for her.
Mm-hmm.
And here I say the hotel look like a social media place, you know, the place we show on social media trying to say, oh, this is, she has this perfect body in this perfect place. And like, let's get out, you know. The desire of let it go, you know, and mm-hmm. what I expect from us. I think this is something I feel so strongly that I felt the desire to tell more about this story. I always want to break the laws, but that's who I am.
So how do you anticipate the audiences are going to respond to your interpretation of this film, and like what conversations has it sparked so far?
Oh, people are fighting over
it's making people a bit annoyed.
Some are shocked that you take that symbol to do something completely different, you know. I told Noemi, if we go that way, people are going to shout. Someone are going to love, someone are going to hate. And I think this is art. I mean, I absolutely agree with that idea. I don't want everyone to see the same movie, you know. I want people to discuss. And this is the connection I'm talking about. We have a lack of connection, so let's discuss.
Yes, exactly. And last question, do you have any advice for future female filmmakers and what's next for you?
Yeah, I think that if I write so much about the pressure we have on our shoulder and this kind of pressure that can prevent ourselves from doing what we want, it's because let it go should be our mantra, you know. We can film. As women, we can be artists. We can film, we can explore, and then we can do exactly what we want to. But if we have to be perfect, and if we respond to that dictate, we're done. As for myself, I have two movies in mind. One is French, and the other one is a book sent by Element. And Element is producing Normal People, and Irish producer, and Yorgos Lanthimos.
Ah, yes.
Marianne Labelle, and by the way, I love her movie, September Says. I mean, that's a French title. And I guess that this one, in a completely different way, talk about girls and system, but completely in girls and what is expected from girls in century.
Okay, interesting. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing more about that. And thank you so much for talking with me today. And I wish you all the best with your next projects.
Thank you so much.
Have a nice day. That's it for this bonus episode of the Buell Girls Club. A big thank you to Audrey Diwan for joining me and sharing her insights on Emmanuel. Just a reminder that Emmanuel will be released in UK and Irish cinemas on the 17th of January with a digital release following on the 24th of January. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, leave a review and share it with other people. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you in the next one.